All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 28th or 27th or whatever one it is, IP!
Did you just type it like a second ago?
It's the way it's numbered, like, there's like some kind of mistake where basically, because I uploaded this many posts on the blog thing, it basically assumes that this is the number, this one, of posts, so the numbers are a bit confused. But anyway.
Okay.
That's not what this episode is really about. This episode... We're going to be talking about PAX, Australia, LegitCon.
Yay.
Anything else happen between Thursday and yesterday, Monday, that wasn't in Melbourne?
Oh, well, Steam sales.
Oh, yeah, Steam sales.
We were talking about this. Well, they happened a bit longer, so we bought some more games, but whatever.
Yeah, it's all right.
What else happened? We didn't talk about Pokemon last week because we forgot.
Oh.
Can we talk about Pokemon real quick?
Okay, let's talk about Pokemon real quick.
Okay, so they released a few new Pokemon. They released these
like Swordmon!
Honedge.
Honedge.
Who's fucking the best, by the way. He's the first Ghost Steel type, which is a really, really good defensive typing.
I hope the anime has like a bit involving knights or whatever, and then the guy just literally grabs the Pokemon.
Don't count on it. That is not gonna happen. Anyway,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, everyone's really excited for Honedge because Honedge is a fucking sword. That's pretty awesome. And he's got a really good typing, and I mean, he can learn Swords Dance, which would kind of imply that he's a physical attacker with like high attack. But then again, he's also just a sword, so maybe they just taught it Swords Dance just because like it'd be weird if it didn't know it, and maybe it like doesn't use physical attacks at all or whatever. We don't really know yet. Well, actually, no, we know it uses physical attacks because we've seen it use some attacks. But we don't know if it's actually going to be strong yet.
Right.
Anyway, Honedge is really cool. I probably will train one because I reckon it's pretty cool. And then we have these two squids called Inkay and Malamar, I think, from memory, which are the first dark psychic types. Surprisingly, the squids are not water type. Kind of cool. We don't really know anything about them other than that they're dark and psychic type, which is pretty cool. Although I looked at the typing and that's actually pretty bad typing. But still, it's unique at least. Then we have the most amazing Pokemon, which is the Ferryfloss Pokemon, which I never remember the name of, but it's my favorite. But what it does is it means that Game Freak has officially told everyone that didn't like Gen 5 to suck a massive dick, because they're going to make more food Pokemon. And that's the more important thing. Like... So happy about that. All those fucking loser douchebags that were like, oh, boo, Gen 5 sucks because it's actually fucking good for once. They don't know. They're going to keep making the really good designs that they had in Gen 5. I'm very excited. So yeah, Ferryfloss Pokemon is
okay.
Neat.
To defend the people of that perspective, they just kind of want to have monsters fighting monsters and...
What's wrong with monsters that don't look like dogs?
I don't know, maybe monsters look more like... Anyway.
Those people are cunty. They're all the people that are so happy that Fennekin is a starter, because it looks exactly the same as, like, 55 other Pokemon already. They're the people that are like, Arcanine is the best Pokemon ever made.
Alright.
It's so boring. It's like, fucking anyone could design that shit. Anyone could just make a horse and give it fire as a main. That's not interesting. Anyone could just fucking have a dog and then make the dog red and be like, oh, well, now it's a fire dog. Look. Anyone can just have a fox and make it red and be like, well, now it's a fire fox. That's so boring. No one cares about that. That's not interesting. That's not, like, a good design. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but...
That's fucking so crappy. That's why Froakie is the best starter, because he's fucking... He's like a DJ Frog. I don't even know what's going on with Froakie. And he's got, like, fluffy mane. I don't even know.
I guess it's... I come from the perspective of someone that just kind of... This might seem weird, but I like Pokemon in a... If I do enjoy Pokemon, it's the traveling and just being with the Pokemon thing. And
yeah,
I
but
think,
you can be with a sword and a piece of fairy floss instead of a dog, can't you?
But I think you come from more the just the pro, basically staring at the battle screen kind of perspective.
Well, no. I mean, I love playing the game as a game as well. But, like, despite... The thing that I love most about Pokemon is the designs of the Pokemon. That's why I'm drawn to the series, right?
Right.
And what I like in a Pokemon's design is when it's actually something that's, like, unexpected, rather than just, like, an animal that already exists in the real world that now just looks a tiny bit different. You know what I mean?
All right.
Get things that aren't animals in the real world and make them animals. Or just make up completely new things, like, altogether. That's what's cool.
All right. Well, I think you're getting a bit of both. I think you're getting ones that you want and the people that those...
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, there's in every Pokemon generation, there's always the boring ones that are just animals, right?
Right.
That's a given. Like, I don't care. Like, that's fine, but that exists. But it's the people that get really angry when they release a Pokemon that isn't... All right,
they're annoying. They're the same Gen 1ers that don't...
Yeah, the people that just like Gen 1 just because they were kids when Gen 1 came out and that's why they like it. And
they just
want to
sit in their room and not really have anything new.
Yeah, that's fucking boring. They can keep playing Pokemon Yellow. That's fine with me, right? But,
right.
Like... Yeah, anyway.
I'm surprised they even want it to be 3D because that would be different from their favored first edition.
I actually kind of would prefer them to go back to sprites. I thought Gen 5 was a bit of a weird, like... midway transition point between 3D and sprite gameplay, where like they were technically 3D models but they weren't really 3D models and it looked kind of weird, and now it just looks like Pokemon Stadium, which I guess is kind of cool, but I don't know. I kind of like sprite. I think sprite art is like something that's really fun to look at, whereas just like a 3D model of a Pikachu is kind of like you know.
Well,
what I mean,
I don't want to see, like, Skyrim graphic Pokemon because I'm kind of like, I don't really like
it. Well, no, they're always going to look cartoony, of course.
I kind of want the whole, like, Wind Waker cel-shaded thing going
on. Well, that's
on.
What they've got going on.
Well, they've actually, someone released a game, I don't know what it's called, like, Pokemon Champions or something.
Is it like a fan game or is it a...
It's a fan game.
Okay.
But it's like a full, well, not every single world, but they made a whole full world where you can walk around in and stuff, and... It's not like Pokemon, it's like a... It's not even like the 3D games they have now. It's literally just a full model that just can walk around and do whatever they want in a world.
Huh,
yeah.
I've not heard of this.
It's pretty cool. And in battles, you control the Pokemon around. Although there are questions about how it will work as a battle, because Pokemon's kind of more static, I guess. Like, they're standing, and they're... How they attack would be completely different.
Well, no, I mean, they could do it in, like, an action RPG type way, like, kind of what Kingdom Hearts would do or something, where you'd have just, like, your attacks, you'd have, like, four different attacks, or however many.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's just in, like, a, oh, fuck, what's that word? The
real
word
time?
That means... What?
Real time.
Real time,
yeah,
yeah. Jesus Christ. It's just, like, a real
game reviewer my
it's
ass.
It's just, like, a real-time 3D environment where you, like, run around and use your attacks and shit. I can see that being a thing.
Okay, that would be cool.
Yeah, that's just, like, effectively Kingdom Hearts, right?
Yeah.
Only you're a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Anyway.
I'm surprised Nintendo hasn't shut them down because it's kind of at that level where you're just kind
there's
of...
There's
like...
a lot of fan-made Pokemon games out there that Nintendo doesn't shut down.
All right.
Or at least it takes them a long time to do so.
But, like, game sites have now been, like, actually doing previews of it and stuff.
Yeah, but they're not making money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as long as they're not making money, I don't think Nintendo cares.
All right.
Then there was the other fairy-type Pokemon that I didn't really... I thought I looked at it and I was like, yeah, it's okay. I think it's called Spritzy, and it's, like, a nose.
Do you like the ribbon? Do you like the ribbon Eevee?
Sylveon, hell yeah. Sylveon looks mad. But yeah, there's this one, I think it's called Spritzy, and I didn't even register that it was a nose until someone mentioned it, and then I read, like, some people with some, like, ideas on what it is, and it actually sounds really, really cool. So basically what people are predicting, right?
Right.
Is from, like, the Pokemon's description and stuff, like, you know, you have each Pokemon in Pokedex has, like, a one-sentence line description and stuff.
Yeah.
There's, like, all these little things that hint at it. I think it says flower Pokemon or something like that in the design.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a nose with legs, right?
Right.
Only it looks cute. It doesn't look like a nose pass or something. It looks kind of like a bird, almost. And people are saying that it's a plague doctor. Like, when there was, like, the plague long, long ago, right?
Yeah.
There used to be, like, the doctors would have, like, those weird, like, beak masks on. And then they were, and...
Oh!
You know, like, in Assassin's Creed 2 and stuff, there's the doctors that walk around...
I know about the actual mask.
They would have those... And then in, like, the end of the beak, they would put a flower at the end of the beak because they would think that that would, like, make them immune from the plague because flowers are, like, the essence of all purity or some shit,
okay.
Right? And flowers are, like, healthy and nice and good for you. And so you're immune from plagues, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, they didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But that's what people are predicting, is that it's going to evolve into, like, a plague doctor Pokemon. How fucking cool would that be, right?
Oh, so it's like a little small head thing, but then it evolves to like a big full-on body. That's cool.
Oh, if that's actually the case, and there's like some fairly decent theories going around that that's what it is, like with some pretty hard evidence, that would be really awesome.
I like it when they put in, you know, they have those kind of designs where you're like, whoa, this actually means this whole historical thing.
Yeah, that would be cool. And so that one's going to be exclusive to Pokemon Y, and then the Fairy Floss is going to be exclusive to Pokemon X.
Oh.
And
so you're going to get Pokemon Y, I'm guessing, then?
No, I'm getting X.
Oh.
I mean, I prefer Xerneas, the legendaries, I prefer Xerneas to Yveltal.
Oh, no, I like the reindeer one.
Yeah, that's Xerneas, which is X. And I prefer the fairy. I really like the Fairy Floss Pokemon, and I really want to have it. So
yeah. I don't get why anyone would like. I kind of get the appeal of the flying one.
It's just like Groudon plus Lugia.
Yeah.
That's what, if you just mesh them, like mix them together. That's what it would look like.
But visually, the reindeer one with like the
yeah,
horns
it looks
and stuff.
Like Studio Ghibli style and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah,
and
like
I'm just
like
whoa.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
Yeah, I really like it too.
I mean, I don't really.
And also, they've announced their types. Xerneas, the reindeer one, is fairy type. And Yveltal is dark flying, which is like completely random and weird, but whatever.
Whatever.
I don't think there has been a dark flying before, though, so that's kind of cool.
Well, if they're introducing fairy, I think like I want to see.
Oh no! Of course, there's been a dark flying. There was that one in Gen 5. Okay, don't worry.
Well, if I want to see like if they're introducing fairy, I want to see it like. I think that would make more sense as the legendary.
Yeah, exactly. You have at least one of the legendaries be fairy, if not both, right? Or
yeah.
Make one fairy and one dragon type, so that you have that that kind of. Counterbalance thing, but then again, I guess the one that's fairy type would just wreck it. But then make the dragon type one dual type and make its other typing something that's super effective against fairies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that it's like evens it out or whatever. But whatever. What else happened in Pokemon? They released Pancham's evolution and he's called Pangoro and he's just a big fucking angry panda. Pretty cool. He continues the theme of having.
Why don't they pick weird weird animals for Pokemon?
They just don't pick that many of them.
Okay.
But yeah, they've had this running theme now. Well, not running theme, but like they've had it a few times now. How they've got like the cute little teddy bear Pokemon that evolves into like the big scary bear.
There's like always that one.
There was Teddy Ursa into Ursaring. Then in Gen 5, there was Chubchu into Bayardic.
Well, that's the same with like the main middle Pokemon that you know about. Then they show the upper evolution before they show the lower evolution.
What?
You know, like with Pikachu to Raichu, and then they do,
Pichu. Oh, no, that's just baby forms, though. That's, like, that's not what that is. That's different. What else is there? That's pretty much it. In regards to Pokemon.
All right, now that we've squeezed this sponge of Pokemon.
Oh, so good. Also, they've announced, well, they haven't announced, they've shown us that you can run in circles. And
that's okay.
HMs are in the game, which people were kind of saying that HMs wouldn't be in the game for some reason, but they are.
Aren't they? They're like a big deal. Like, aren't they?
Yeah, people were saying that it was just going to be you would ride Pokemon in particular instances where you would ordinarily use HMs, and then they would take HMs out of the game. Because a lot of people don't like HMs. Justified. Because HMs are pretty shit. But,
what's bad about HMs?
Well, it just forces your party to have particular moves that you generally don't want your party to have. Like, other than Surf, there's not a single good HM.
Well, I guess they just need to make HMs better.
Well, they can't. They've already, like, made the moves. They can't just change the moves, like, randomly. I mean, they could. They do that. But they can't just be like, alright, Strength is now, like, 110 base power
well,
normal attack that
why don't they
wants
just
to have.
Think about the moves that they put in instead of having, like, all the HMs?
Well, no, they don't. They usually only have, like, 4 or 5 per game out of, like, the maybe 12 or so that there are. But, like... Just no one likes HMs because they're all bad. There's Strength, which is like a mediocre normal
what about cut?
Type
isn't
move.
Cut useful?
Cut isn't useful. Cut is, I think, 55 base power with
no. Not in a death battle. I was talking about going through the world.
Yeah, no, going through. That's the thing. But they force you to have these moves in the Pokemon in your party so that you can traverse the world. But in battle, the moves are really bad, except for Surf.
Oh,
that's
well,
the problem.
That's the thing. I
that's
guess...
why people were saying you have Pokemon. In particular instances that just do those things where you don't need to force the move, you know what I mean?
Well, I guess HMs are designed for one part of the game. And
yeah, but the thing is that it positively affects the exploration aspect of the game, right? And it lets them have a bit of level design because they can block you off from a particular areas that you know, don't want you to go to until a particular point in time, right?
Right.
However, it negatively affects the battle parts of the game, which are kind of the more important part of the game, let's be honest, right? And if, basically, if, like, your main Pokemon are forced to have, like, Cut and Strength and Fly and, like, Rock Smash or some crap...
Okay.
Just because the game environment forces you to do so, that's bad. That, like, that means, basically, your Pokemon are just not as good as you want them to be.
Well, I guess... I don't know. I think for... Again, as I said before, this is what I was saying. Like, you are the kind of audience that likes the battle part.
But, yeah, no, but...
But there are people
can,
that actually
no,
like
no,
the game.
But they can put the that those mechanics of exploration into the game without negatively affecting the battle gameplay, right?
Right.
Why don't they just do that?
I don't know.
Exactly. That's why people are saying that you would just be able to use Pokemon... Like, people Pokemon would just be able to do those things regardless of whether they're new HMs. People were kind of saying that that would be a thing.
Oh, that would have been cool.
And that would have been cool, right? That's exactly the perfect way to solve the problem, right?
Well, it would just make sense if water Pokemon just could do it.
Exactly. And Pokemon that, like, look like they can cut something can just cut something, right?
Right.
Pokemon that are strong can just have, like, push boulders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would make sense. But that's not what they're doing, because we saw the Pokemon use Surf in the, in, like, this little gameplay footage thing that we saw. Sad times.
Alright.
But anyway, what else have you seen?
If
nothing.
If we do five more topics, I'll talk about Hat in Time for an hour.
Oh, you can talk about Hat. Didn't you talk about it last week?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a threat. It's not actually.
Oh, right. Well, that's it.
Okay.
I think. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sure?
It's probably not it, but whatever. Let's just keep going.
Alright, so last weekend, as we said last week, we went to PAX.
Yes.
And, you know, we had some fun in Melbourne, which, you know, before we get into the meat of the show, there was some fun stuff in
Melbourne.
Melbourne's
a really cool city, probably the best city in Australia.
I haven't actually been overseas much, so it's more surprising to find a city with such a great public transport system.
A functional city that's, like, made for human beings to live in? Really hard for us to imagine that living in Sydney.
I've checked the statistics, and I found there are some people from the US that listen to this episode. Or at least, like, click on a link, and then they go to the page, and then
yeah.
They're like, what is this, and then leave.
Yeah.
But if you are listening, like, or from Europe, I guess, I don't know. If you're from a functional city, we in Sydney have a terrible public transport system.
Yeah.
It's like, A... There isn't, like, one card system. You have to, like... They're all separate, pretty much.
Yeah.
So you don't really have a need to... Like, you're not really going to get a bus, for instance.
Well, you're either going to go somewhere by bus or by train.
Yeah.
But you can't do both. You can't be like, I'll train it to here, and then I'll catch the bus to the rest of it.
Unless...
That would take, like, more money.
Yeah.
Whereas in, like, a good city, like, say, London or Melbourne, for instance...
Yeah.
That, you know, they just have those little credit card transport things that you can just, like, scan it wherever you go, and then it just takes the money out of your account, and it's great.
And, you know, it's like we were, like, got there by tram, and we're like, you know, it's going to be much easier to just go by train at this point, you know? And we're like, okay, we may as well just tram it, and we just
trained
it.
Because we can, because we have the thing that works
Although
for everything.
Although, Sydney are in putting it in. Like,
they're implementing it, but guess what? It's 2013, it's this long. And then they're not even doing it well. It takes you... You have to, like, send... I read about it. I can't remember exactly what the details were. But you have to, like, send City Rail, which is no longer called City Rail now. I think the name change has got something to do with this implementation, by the way.
Yeah.
You have to send them, like, a letter saying, like, I would like to have one of these cards. And then it would take them, like, it'll take them, like, 2 weeks to fucking give you one of these things,
That
right?
didn't happen
in
Melbourne.
In Melbourne, you go and buy, in fucking Japan, you go to any train station... There's, like, little, like, ATMs, right? You just fucking, like, press, I want one, and then it just, like, zips one out and just, like, has money on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, like, so easy in any other country in the world. No, in fucking Australia, it's gonna take, like, weeks for them to even give it to you.
But at least, I mean... Yeah. I don't know.
But whatever. The point is that...
And they also
Melbourne's,
have trams.
Well, Melbourne's, like, just a better city than...
And they have trams everywhere, which I just love.
Yeah, there's trams, which we don't really have. We have, like, a tiny bit of tramage in Sydney, but they...
We have a line. We don't have...
Yeah.
We have
basically a tram that goes from, like, the central station to right next to the central station, and that's it. It has, like, five stops or something, and that's all it does.
Which it's, like...
It's
and
pretty
it does,
pointless.
And it's, like, through the touristy part. It's not even...
Well, it's through, like, one of the several touristy parts. It doesn't even go to any of the other ones.
Yeah.
It just goes to one of them.
And
it just goes to the main part in Chinatown. That's it.
But in Melbourne, and then when it pops up, it's kind of annoying, but otherwise you're just like, oh, yeah, here's an extra footpath, so you don't have to worry about, you know, cars. But in Melbourne, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was
and
like...
there's no cars in the CBD because they're blocked out. They're not allowed to drive in, like, the main parts of the fucking CBD. Like, it should be in every city in the
and
world.
And I was like, there's a point where I'm just like, I can see really far ahead of me in the city.
Yeah.
And I... you don't get that in,
yeah,
in
you,
Sydney.
You never get that in Sydney.
It's always really crowded. There's always a lot of people. It's like a parody of New York, but not actual New York from what I can tell.
Yeah. But yeah, it was nice. It's also a lot more cultural than Sydney. Like, Sydney's certainly got a lot of culture and art and stuff, but Melbourne's, like, known as the arty city. So there's a lot of cool stuff like
you
that.
You have to search out for the cafe areas in Sydney. You can't avoid them in Melbourne.
And, like, there was this kind of, like, this art gallery museum thing we went to, which had an entire section based on, like, techniques in film and stuff like that. Like, and it showed tons of movies, had, like, little scenes from movies to show different film techniques and stuff. And
no,
it was
really,
kind of cool.
Really?
But the cooler part was that it had the history of video games in it, like, where all these video games were available to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to read about and to watch. And they had, like, cool things telling you how everything, like, why everything's important and stuff. Like, in the same way that if you go into, like, an art place, they respect film, right? And how it's an important form of art, and they have all this film history and stuff. They had that, but for video games. It's so fucking cool. I've never seen that before. Not even in, like, Japan have I seen that before. It's so cool. So freaking cool.
Yeah.
So that was pretty surprising, and I was very happy with that.
Yeah. And, you know, we one of the other funny bits was that there was a guy who was just running down the hill. Really fast.
Oh yeah, that was like the fastest I'd ever seen someone run in like real life.
He was intense.
That was like I was running.
He was like looking for something. I don't know. But...
yeah, we don't know what was going on, but that guy was running. So anyway, let's talk about PAX.
So okay, so the reason we went to Melbourne was we went to PAX and we start. I'll just say my bit and then we'll go on to when we split off. And what we each did.
Oh, yeah, and then my phone died, so we couldn't contact each other.
Yeah.
Until finally the Wi-Fi worked on my iPad. It took, like, 2 hours, and then I could, like, find you again. It's pretty funny.
And I fortunately had Facebook working, and my phone hadn't run out of battery.
Yeah.
So our weekend could have gone out completely differently. But we started off the thing. We were in the big PAX hall. They got a couple balls going, and everyone was, like, basically playing beach ball with the banner.
Yeah, in the waiting lines, yeah.
Which Dylan was like webs about.
I was getting street passes on my 3 years. I got so many street passes. Oh my god! I want to go to like PAX every year, just so I can like quadruple the amount of street passes I get in a year, like in a day. It was amazing. It was so good. I loved it.
But yeah, once we got in, we decided to just basically go through the different halls, get a different overview before we do like actual stuff. So we basically went to the main hall. Which was where all the board games, video games, old games, and merch was, as well as the DS area, which is alright, you know. I was excited about the board game area,
mm-hmm.
more than anything else.
Well, this was like the chill area where you could go and play stuff. And
yeah.
And there was obviously like the expo hall where it had all the games set up.
Which...
with like showing you things
which
and stuff.
I was happy that they had a much bigger area for the chill area. And it was actually nice that it was separate, because then, like...
yeah.
Like, at other ones, you have, like, them all stuck together.
Yeah.
So you don't really feel comfortable being in the chill area, because...
yeah, because it's not really that chill at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here, it's like, no, full hall for you.
Yeah.
It's like, merch and a DS competition, finger quotes.
Yeah.
But, you know...
and there were just tons and tons of like, Xboxes and PlayStations set up with a bunch of... with, like, they had a huge library of games that you could just basically, like... go and ask for whichever
yeah.
game you wanted, and you can just go play it, which is pretty cool. I don't think we did that, but like,
no, we didn't.
But
we didn't.
It's cool that was there.
And they had board games that you could just borrow.
They had like this fucking huge amount of board games that you could just borrow, and there were tons and tons of tables that you could play at, like hundreds of tables.
Yeah.
That you could just go and play games at. Then there was this huge beanbag area where you could play like
DS.
portable games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could just like chill out there and eat some food or whatever.
They had a retro area where you could just.
Oh yeah, they had a bunch of like really, really old consoles. Like I've never seen a Famicom in my life before, but now I have because they just had one available to play.
There were just some consoles that you just
yeah,
didn't
like,
hear about.
Like consoles from like 20 years ago that are like really rare collector's items now. They
yeah.
just had them. You could just play them
and that's
free.
That's cool.
It was awesome. Then they had like some
like, Plants vs. Zombies time cafe thing.
Which, oh, it was basically just Plants vs. Zombies sponsored an area where food stalls were there.
But the but it was cool that they had that
there. Yeah. There were other food stalls outside too, but there was also ones inside, which is cool.
Of course, we went to the ones outside because we didn't want to wait in line for 5 hours.
Yeah. and it was raining, that's why there were no people outside. Then there was an MTG section where they had the Duels of the Planeswalkers 2014 like iPad game. They had like just a bunch of iPads, and then there was like MTG representatives there that would teach people how to play, which is pretty friendly. And you could get like free cards and stuff, and then you could go out and play players. There were tons and tons of MTG players there.
Yeah.
There was a Pokemon TCG tournament in the corner that like 5 people were at. There was like no Yu-Gi-Oh presence there at all. I was kind of sad, but I forgot my cards anyway, so
I was
alright.
I was surprised that it wasn't even like there was a pity stall. It was just it didn't exist.
Well, there were card shops there that were selling.
Well, there was
Yu-Gi-Oh
the
cards.
Pity section of the stall, but there
but,
wasn't
yeah,
like
there was no but like there was just no Yu-Gi-Oh presence at all. It was kind of
yeah.
But I mean, whatever.
Magic is the game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's way more popular than
and apparently. What's the one? I like played a bit of it.
Vanguard
is apparently...
Yeah. It's pretty up and coming, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Vanguard had its own stall. Yu-Gi-Oh didn't have a stall.
That was what surprised me. But
what
I guess
else was there?
Oh.
It's about it in that place,
but
right?
Yeah, but it was a really nice area. And,
yeah,
you know,
it was really cool. And we played a game. There were like some
Sentinels
like,
of the Multiverse.
Yes.
There were a couple new board games that they had going. But...
Yeah, like people, you know, like devs with stalls that would like... we just played a couple games of this game with the actual developers of the game.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. And it's like this cooperative card game where you're like a team of superheroes, each with their own deck. And then you've got to fight, like, a villain deck, and there's, like, a bunch of different decks to choose from, of course.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was pretty fun. We played it with the devs, and it was, like, you know, you kind of, like, a bit obligated to buy their game once you've played their game with them for, like, 1.5 hours. So we bought the game. They didn't have any core sets left, because they were pretty successful while they were there.
They made a really good argument, but by that time, there were no sets left.
So we bought, like, 2 expansions and some separate decks and stuff.
But that was about it for the.
To be honest, the art in the game is kind of.
Oh, the art
is
a bit.
It's like done on Flash, and it's like pretty bad. But it's like as a game, it's pretty good.
I think it's like they had a solid game idea, but the production was basically okay. We can make good cards, or we can make good art.
Yeah, I found that a lot of the time, like they had a good system. I'm not going to go into the rules of the game, but like they had a good system for, kind of having a consistent amount of cards in your hand at any time. But there was like very. It seemed like it was as in like the main game mechanics that every deck had. The way that you would have a consistent amount of cards in your hand was really like well designed. But then as soon as there was one deck that would allow players to draw cards, you ended up having like half your deck in your hand at any point in time, and it was kind of dumb. So I don't know. I think that was a bit silly, but.
And they needed
that was,
to
like,
be
the
more.
Only thing I really didn't like about it.
I didn't really know. Like they would like tell us things about the deck, but I didn't really get too much of a clue. I don't know. Maybe it's in the rule book, but it's like this is the leadership card and this is that. And I'm like, okay, I know that's Superman, so he's going to be the leader. But then there was this other speedster character that was also a leader character, and I'm like,
well, no, they just mean that in terms of the deck's playstyle. Like,
but I feel
the
like
the leader will be able to buff all the other team players rather than like. Being like a support player or something like that, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I guess
that's not like a general like mechanic of the game. It's just like the playstyles of each deck is related to the character that they are representing.
All right, but that you know it was fun.
Yeah,
fun
it was
play.
A cool game. So we have that game now. Onwards into
we went
the
then
Expo.
Went to well quickly before we get to the Expo because.
Okay.
Because I feel like the PC area in that. So, first the PC area was like...
That was garbage.
That was like... Like, I mean, I liked the main hall because it was calm and it was for everyone. The PC hall was like, you brought your PC and you had a fun
time.
Well,
yeah, there was like, bring your own computer where you could just like, do LAN parties and shit. But who the fuck would bring their computer to a con? That's like so frustrating and annoying
and
big. And,
like,
and then there was...
You're not doing shit with anyone. You're
there
just...
was... Yeah, I mean, you could just go... online at home and do that, right?
Yeah.
Why would you pay to go into an expo to do
that?
You
just, and no one, it's not like everyone's like standing behind any PC gamer being like, yeah, you're
yeah.
gonna do
and
it.
And then the thing was, there was tons and tons of people, the entire day, all day long, there were PC tournaments going on in this PC gaming area.
Yeah.
But there was no screen to watch it on. You couldn't watch the tournaments. Unless you were participating, you had no way of, like, of... Unless you were actually playing, there was no way you could participate in these tournaments.
I mean, the,
it was so dumb.
The showroom, like, the area where they had, like, you know, actual live shows like Xbox One and stuff, they had, like, a showing with the big screen, but with the PC gaming, but otherwise... Like, who is this is like a sport. Like, if this is a sport...
Yeah, it was just like you could enter the tournament, but you couldn't watch the tournament, and it was really dumb.
Yeah, so...
But whatever. So, like, we just didn't really go there. We went there once and, like, realized how bad it was, and then just, like, never went.
We're like, oh, great, there's a line of guys waiting, like...
Whatever. Waiting to play Counter-Strike. I think it was Half-Life 2 Deathmatch was what was on when we went.
But again,
we didn't see it, because all we could do was, like... look over the fucking fence to, like, where all the players were at and, like, see the three screens we could see from where we were standing and watch those, but that's not fun.
I didn't go to Melbourne to be in my computer. I came to Melbourne to be, like...
But anyway, that happened.
So,
Expo Hall?
Well, the other bit was we only saw three... I think technically three things at the other hall. What was it called? It was, like,
What?
Actually, I have a map for the things.
Oh, it doesn't matter what it was called.
Okay, basically, it's where they do the shows.
Yeah, where they do panels and shit. They had, like, three theaters where they did panels, and then in the main theater,
we saw
the two Penny Arcade dudes do a Q&A while drawing Monday's comic.
And that was
pretty fun.
That was pretty fun.
We didn't stay for the whole thing because it was, like, 2.5 hours long.
I'd say we got pretty far to the end.
Yeah.
Like, he had, like, a bit of FX.
Yeah,
too.
He was almost done with the comic, and so I presume that they would have ended the panel whenever he'd finished.
They just, like, scrapped it and then did another one.
Yeah.
But, they had some really cool questions, some on, like, parenting and stuff, and, you know, which was really cool.
Yeah, there was some fairly... I mean, the thing with whenever you've got a live show is that there's always going to be bad questions and good questions, because unlike when you're doing, like, a podcast or something, you can't filter out the questions and pick the ones you want. But for the most part, they were pretty good questions.
Like that guy that accidentally cosplayed as one of the two
Pretty funny. Yeah, there was this one guy that just looked exactly the same as the bald guy from the Penny Arcade duo. I don't know the names.
So,
And so he, like, went on stage and, like, showed that he looked almost identical. And apparently, like, there were these two girls that came up to him and, like, said that they loved him and they wanted to have pictures with him and stuff. And he was like... okay.
On the phone to his wife, apparently.
But anyway, that was a good time. Then I saw the Xbox One presentation, which you said you just didn't see.
Okay, so I'll say mine because mine's pretty short.
Okay.
Apparently it was good, but I think this might also be due to being like an FPS. I like FPS, but I'm not like a mega fan of it, so...
Yeah.
So I walked in and they were basically talking about cutscenes and stuff, and I just spent like 5 minutes where I was like, they're doing the same stuff that they do at every other show, maybe a bit better, but still, that I'm just not interested in. You know, and
it's not like they were going to talk about Battlefield 4 for 1.5 hours. They were only mentioning it for, like, a bit.
Well, no, it wasn't really about Battlefield 4 that bothered me. It was that it was basically going in on and on about cutscenes and graphics and...
Well, it's the presentation of the next generation console. What do you want?
I don't know. I found myself bored. I'm not saying that it can't be enjoyable, Dylan. I'm just saying for me...
But what did you expect is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I was expecting maybe to see more of a demonstration of the actual Xbox One, I guess more gameplay.
They showed plenty of gameplay if you stayed. They showed live presentations of Battlefield 4, Killer Instinct, and Rise, as well as the Kinect 2.0, which isn't technically a game, but they showed it, like, functioning live.
I don't know, none of those games really interest me.
Yeah, no, they don't. Well, they showed the single player for Battlefield 4, so that doesn't interest me. But, like, it was cool because I had the second row seats, right?
Right.
Fantastic sight. I could see the Xbox One, like, very clearly, and I can tell you it's fucking enormous, dude. I don't know how anyone's going to even fit that shit in their living room. That thing is so big. It's so big. But anyway, I had really, really good seats. I could see everything perfectly clear. And it was pretty cool just to see next generation games on a huge screen, right? That's kind of cool. You can't deny it, right?
Right.
And so that's why I wanted to see it. So I was really surprised at how good the Kinect 2.0 is. Like, it's actually a fucking really cool piece of technology. Whether or not it'll make good games is another question. Probably not. But as a piece of technology, it's
well,
cool.
The Kinect was a good system, but it doesn't make the games.
It probably won't make any good games at all. But as just a piece of technology, I was quite surprised at how good it was. I was really quite amazed. I think they'd actually showed off all that stuff at E3, but I just didn't watch the Microsoft presentation at E3, so I didn't see it. I just watched, like, the highlights, all the important things in it. So maybe that stuff was actually already, like, everyone already knew that stuff and I just hadn't seen it. But I was surprised, nonetheless. Then they showed live presentations of, yeah, as I said, Rise, Battlefield 4, and Killer Instinct. And I can tell you that they were live because, I mean, they it wasn't just like they had the person on screen on the stage, like, holding a controller pretending to play the game, and it was, like, obviously recorded. Like, the person that was playing Rise was really not very good at the game, and they even died at one point. And, like, obviously, for the point of the presentation, they had, like, invincibility mode on, right? But, like, it said, like, you died on the screen, and then, like, they lost all their health, right?
Yeah.
But then they just kept being alive because they had invincible mode. But, they didn't do very well at playing the game. When Rise is actually, you might even like it, because basically when it's not quick time events, it's just Batman Arkham City with swords. And
I'm trying to picture what it is, because
the combat is just, you know what Rise is, right? It's that Spartan game that they showed at the Xbox One presentation at E3. It looked really crappy, alright? Because pretty much all they showed was quick time events the entire time.
Okay.
But when you're actually just playing the normal combat, it's basically Arkham Asylum.
Well, that's cool.
And if you punch someone and then you like don't punch and you like don't do a button input in like Arkham Asylum, how it like very slightly slows down time a little bit.
Yeah.
It like did that the whole time, and like just the way the combos worked and stuff, and the way you like moved from enemy to enemy, it looked basically identical to the Batman games.
Okay.
Well, only you're like, oh, no, I'm sorry, it's not Spartans. I think it's Romans.
Rome 2.
No, not Rome 2. It's called Rise. It's a new franchise.
Okay.
No, it is Spartans. Is it Spartans or Romans? I can't remember. They're like the same thing anyway. Who cares? But anyway,
our history buff Steve is going to be very annoyed about that comment.
But anyway, that was, like, the game looks kind of bad, but it was just cool to see it. And then they showed Battlefield 4, which was just the same single-player stuff we'd seen already, where you're, like, on the boat, and then, like, the boat fucking breaks, and then, like, jump out into the water, and you get on the small boat, and you shoot the guys, whatever. It was kind of cool. Like, it was also, again, it was obviously live. Like, there was a point, there was, like, a speaker who was talking about mechanics and stuff while the other guy was playing, right? And then the speaker was like, so we've implemented some things from the multiplayer into the single player. Like, we want to make the single player more of, like, a team-based kind of campaign. Like, they didn't say whether there'd be co-op or not. I'm going to say probably not, because that would take effort, right? But but they were talking about like in the Battlefield games in multiplayer, right? You can like spot enemies in the multiplayer, which basically means that if you see an enemy, you can press a button and then there'll be like a little triangle above their head that every person on your team can see. And so that way, if there's like a sniper hiding in a building somewhere, right, that'd be like almost impossible to see. If you spot them, then there'll be like a triangle in that building and then everyone can like notice that they're there and try and kill them, right?
That's
kind of the idea.
Yeah.
Right? And they've now put that into the single player where if you spot enemies in the single player, then the AI, your friendly AI teammates will like kind of focus their fire towards that character, towards that enemy kind of thing. There was like a point where the speaker guy was talking about this, right? And he was like, so you can spot enemies in single player, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like telling the guy that was playing to like do that. And then the guy kind of did, but then he, like, fucked it up and killed everyone on his own. And then the speaker guy was like, oh, okay. And just kind of, like, it got a bit awkward because the speaker guy was, like, kind of wanting him to show off this mechanic and he kind of just didn't. It was kind of cool. But, and then they played Killer Instinct, but they just played, like, a match of the game and it was kind of cool.
This is, like, with Mega Man where there are those people that are excited about it, where it's, like, everyone's excited about Killer Instinct and I'm just, like, just a fighter, guys.
Yeah, but it's like one of the most famous, like one of the best fighters from ages ago.
Okay.
And it's been like 10 years or something since the Killer Instinct game has been out. Maybe longer than that.
Okay.
But, yeah, it looked good. I mean, it looked like an adequate fighting game. I can't like judge from one match whether it was like a good competitive game or not. But
tell me everything, Dylan.
From what I've heard, that the devs are really paying attention to the community and people that are like good fighting game people, like that know their stuff, are saying that it is looking better and better every time we see it. So I don't know. And then what else did we see
at the main,
I think there was more Microsoft stuff. Oh, who cares? Whatever. Basically the Xbox One, I'm not going to buy one for sure, But it was quite cool just to see next-gen games on a big screen in real life.
I'm surprised Sony didn't, I don't know, try to, like...
Yeah, there was no Sony presence at all in the whole expo. Sony just... Well, although, to be... It is PAX. PAX is more about indie games and stuff like that than it is about, like,
which,
big games.
Which I did like about it, because I'm like... And I... Going on to the main expo, I guess we don't really need to talk.
Can we take a break first?
Sure. Let's take a break. Woo! Okay, so we're back again. Like, 50 hours later.
Took like 50 seconds later.
Yeah. But anyway, so we'll get on to the main expo hall, which was probably most of the cool stuff that we saw. I mean, the main hall was cool with the whole multiverse thing, but that was more about chilling. So the expo hall is basically where all the big game, you know, all the previews and stuff are going on, pretty much. And I noticed, like, for me at least, like, I saw, like, the Saints Row 3 area, and I was like...
Saints Row 4,
whatever. Saints Row 4, I am interested in that game, but for this con, I was kind of like, I'm going to see Saints Row stuff in the coming months. I'm going to see a lot of stuff, and if I'm actually really interested in the game, I'm going to see stuff. I'm not going to see this indie stuff, maybe, if I don't see it now. Like,
by the way, with Saints Row 4 got banned in Australia.
Yeah.
Because Australia's shit.
Yeah.
So it was the censored, like, the played down, low... craziness version of Saints Row 4.
Is what I don't want that. I don't want Saints Row for simple played
down. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. That kind of makes me sad, actually. Because I'm like, I don't go to Saints Row for this.
I mean, it's still craziness, but it's just like, they probably took out some, like, rape jokes or something. I don't know.
Probably.
And, like, maybe some gore. I don't know. But, like,
I would love it if they actually made that a joke where the characters are all vulgar, but then they meet a woman. And then they're the most nicest gentlemen in the world.
Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, go on about actual games.
Okay, so I walked into the hall and, like, first we did, like, a sweep where we were just like, okay, here's what this here, this is here, this is here, this is here. Went to the main hall, PC hall, sort of looked around. And then when me and Dylan kind of went again, we kind of just started actually looking at games. We kind of split off a bit after that, but the games I saw, I'll just go on with what I saw, which was, first I saw a paint game.
Painters Unite.
And so in Painters Unite, it's basically like Team Fortress 2 or whatever, except without the flag catching. It's basic. Okay, the basic gist here is that you play, everyone in the game has a color of paint. Their clothing is a color of paint. So you're like yellow or you're blue or you're green or you're yellow, whatever, right?
Yellow or yellow?
No. Green or yellow or red or
Whatever.
Whatever. So, whatever. And the point is that you shoot your opponent with paint. So, and the point is you want to put everyone on your side. So you're painting them with the color of your clothes. So, like, if you're yellow, you're shooting them with yellow. If you're red, you shoot them with red. And the point is that you want to make it so everyone is on your team. And when you paint someone, or if you get someone fully covered in that color, they join your team, and then they have to color other people in, well, your color in your
but
team.
But what forces them to do that? Like, if I didn't play the game, I only saw people play it. If you shoot someone and they join your team, right?
Right.
But they're on the other team normally. How come? What is it about the game that makes it so that when they join your team, they can't just stop shooting and just, like, stand there and wait until they're on the other team again?
Well, there aren't really teams. There's, like, singular people with their specific colors, and then they basically are continuously changing. Because there's never...
What are you striving towards by the end of the match?
To have everyone colored in one color. I'm not saying it's
So let's say there's, like, blue, red, and green...
Yeah.
And then the blue guy shoots the red guy, and the red guy is like, okay, well, now we just need to kill we now need to shoot the green guy, and then we've both won. Is that what you're saying?
What? Wait, say that again?
So there's three players in the game. This is hypothetical, obviously.
Okay.
There's a blue guy, there's a green guy, and there's a red guy, right?
Right.
And the blue guy, and all these guys at the beginning of the game want the other two guys to be the same color as them, right?
Right.
And so, but then the blue guy and the red guy have like fight each other, right? But then the blue guy wins, and then the red guy becomes blue, right?
Right.
And now, if the red guy, who is now blue, shoots the green guy, he would also be blue, and then the match would be over. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
And then the red guy, who then became blue, would get victory points for killing the for for making everybody blue, basically. Is that what you're saying?
They didn't really show points or anything. They just...
But, like, that would make the blue team then win the game, right?
I guess. Look, I didn't actually play in-depth for 5 hours. I played, like, a 10-minute sesh.
Okay.
The basic mechanic...
But what I don't understand, basically what I'm asking is, what incentivizes you to actually play as the team that your opponent just turned you into, rather than go back to your old team?
Because there never seems to be... For a lot of the game, it's just kind of a quick game, so I don't... Like, I mean, I just played, and I just didn't really feel a need to, like... Like, I got switched over, and I was just kind of like, okay, I'm in this one. And I wasn't really...
But, like, okay, let's say there's like, five friends that are playing it together, right?
Right.
And they're all on Skype or whatever, and they're, like, organizing their stuff, but they're all on different teams, right?
Right.
Or at the beginning, they're all on the same team, and then over time, they'd get colored different colors, right?
Right.
They would... What stops them from just being an organized team outside of the fact that they're not the same color to bringing themselves back into the right color scheme and then winning the game in that color kind of thing?
Well,
like, is there any way that gets prevented from happening?
I think it depends on how they decide to go about it, whether this is like a massive online thing or if it's...
No, but even if it's just a small team-based game, that is still a thing that has to be resolved.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, like, I didn't see...
I think that's a valid question, but...
Okay.
I
just don't know. That's fair enough. Like, I don't need you to know. I'm just... That's, like, the one question I have about that game.
But I think in terms of just a general kind of fun for 5 minutes, I had fun.
Okay.
I thought it was fun, and I liked the idea of... It's kind of like tag when you're a kid. And that's the best way I could describe it, actually.
Yeah, but in tag, you can't untag yourself, right? In this game, you can unpaint yourself.
What I'm talking about is that it's like that idea of changing allegiances. I think they've got work to do, I still think, and figuring out what modes will work and what stuff will work with the game. But in terms of just fun, I think they've at least got that stuff solid.
Okay.
I just think they need to, like you said, like, figure out those questions.
Okay. I mean, they probably already have worked it out. You just, like, forgot or whatever, right? Played it for like 5 minutes.
I got
like the hundreds of other stuff you saw, so, like,
yeah.
Obviously you can't remember everything.
Yeah, I got controls explained to me pretty much.
Yeah.
But that was fun. I played another game which was small and was basically just like, I think, a small game among many for this company, which was basically you play this patient whose heart's dying and you need to get as much electricity to keep your heart running. So it's basically like Crank. And so you have to keep going to, like you go to, like, fans and stuff in a hospital, basically just, like, shake it and then get electricity for yourself.
It's exactly like Crank.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
And so you're basically just going through the hospital, but you're, like, with this weird, weird-looking patient. It's not like you get to, like, kick, like, fight anyone. You're literally just trying to get electricity.
Oh, I want it to be like Crank, where you just fucking, like... I need energy. I'm going to drive the car really fast to get adrenaline.
No, you're literally just stealing electricity from computers and stuff.
That's less cool.
But what else did I play? I then played a game called... What was the fucking goal? Because it was one I actually really enjoyed. But I'm just going to go to my file.
He's got a swag bag here.
Swag bag.
All this fucking, like, stuff that he got.
I pretty much just went and just, like, I collected a lot of pins and stuff, which was fun.
Oh my God. I kind of regret not getting any swag. The only swag I got was a Froakie sticker.
I don't feel bad. I wouldn't feel bad for not getting it, but I have fun that I haven't.
Yeah, but I regret not doing it now.
Oh.
It could have been fun.
It was fun to get.
It could have been fun to get a bunch of swag that I'll never use.
But it's this game called Freedom Fall, and it's not, like, revolutionary.
Hey, that's a Steam logo on the back there. Is it on Steam?
Oh, yeah. It's like they're trying to get green light.
Oh, okay.
Basically. You know, because every developer needs to be on Steam if they want to
get
as much notice. But it's a simple platformer kind of thing. It's like... It reminds me of Sonic to a little lesser degree and like Icy Tower if you played that game. But like reverse, where Icy Tower you have to really get upwards. In this game, it starts off going downwards. So the basic game is that you were like a prisoner. You were basically a prisoner in a dungeon, and this girl has basically just let you out. She's like, unlocked the key.
You mean like an old boy?
Kind of in the sense she wants to fuck you over.
Oh, yeah. So but I'm like old boy the game.
Yeah. Can you stop making references to movies and then getting disappointed when they're not just like the movie? It isn't like he's going to turn out to, like... Okay, I'm not going to spoil Old Boy, but no, it's no. not going to turn out like Old Boy. See, stop doing this.
Okay, what's the game about?
Okay, so you get... You're a prisoner. She's, like, undone the door, but she's let you out in a prison that's filled with all these death traps, basically. So it's kind of like Saw, where everything's basically... Like, there's lots of fire everywhere, and...
But it's, like, cartoony and not
yeah.
gory, right?
No,
okay.
Yeah. And, oh, well, there's, like a little blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, horror.
No.
Okay.
It's not like some games where they, like, I think, what was it, Dragon's Lair or whatever it is, where they literally show you the guy dying when you fuck up.
Yeah.
And because it's animated, they show you, like, really gruesome shit. But anyway, basically, once you get out, you basically just have to do basically platformer stuff where it's, like, wall sliding and stuff. And jumping over, which is really smooth and really strong in that way. You collect gears and coins and stuff. It's a combination of gears. Yeah, it's gears, nuts, and bolts, basically, which is how you pay for upgrades and stuff.
Like Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. But I think the main hook of the game is that it has its style and humor are actually really strong and makes you actually want to keep going forward. Like, it's, like, got solid platforming. But what really made me go forward was there'd be, like, this girl's, like, painted stuff on the side of the wall about her family and her life and how she basically hates her stepmom and her dad's, like, this evil warlord or whatever. And it's kind of funny in that way. You know, a nice way to involve story and character in something without actually doing that. So that was, you know, that was really fun. After that, a couple other games, there was nothing really as big as those two, but there was, like, these two games about basically wolves on some level. One is, like, about a werewolf and the other is a point-and-click game where you're a wolf that wanted to be a clown, but then became a pirate.
What? I didn't see this.
It was so silly. But the guy was, like, pretty much on us, like, yeah, we're a bit of a silly developer. We wanted to do silly games. But I like that. I like talking to all the developers. Yeah, it was very silly. It was just basically a wolf who wants to be a clown, but then becomes a pirate.
But what's the game? Like,
it's a point-and-click mystery thing.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not going to tell me the mystery. I didn't really get to play it much, but it was fun. Next one, I played a game called a solitaire game. It was like a dungeon crawler, but like solitaire, which had some interesting mechanics.
How does that work?
It's like your basic solitaire setup where it's flat on the... It's kind of like solitaire, but it's not actually like solitaire.
Okay.
So you have your basic setup of gear, and then you draw three cards, and you go through the top card, and then the second card, and then the third card, depending on if you get that far. So, like...
I think this is really a lot easier just to watch than to explain, eh?
Yeah.
It sounds like it. Well, okay. We'll just continue then.
Well, the point is that as interesting as some of the mechanics were, the guy was like... I mean, there were people that were nervous there. I'm not saying, like, they weren't nervous, but the guy kind of came across like he was in that panel next to all the massive 3D games with all the interesting stuff that people were familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the solitaire guy with his games that were kind of like school-level graphics for his surfing game and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of was, like, trying to throw him a bone by just being like, tell me about the game. Tell me more about it, you know.
Yeah.
I played a game that was basically a deathmatch kind of thing where you play a cube and you have, like, you basically collect coin or whatever it is. You collect gems to get, like, upgrades so you get more weapons and then you just keep attacking each other. Like, these cubes with, like, top hats or whatever shit.
Okay.
And that was alright. I played this other weird art game. There were, like, a ton of games and I had fun, but I wouldn't say anything was, like, monumental.
Okay.
But I still had, I had a fun time. And I went to the Nintendo thing and I was like, okay, this is fun game, but Mario has really gotten smaller. Like...
You mean 3D World?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, I play Galaxy. I know you can do better than this.
People say 3D World is one of the best ones they've made ever.
It was like, basically the generic Mario World.
I promise you were playing the first level, though.
No, I was playing multiplayer, which I didn't like.
The entire game can be played in multiplayer, though.
I know,
You can turn it off as well. You don't have to play it like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I
promise you were playing the first level, and that's why it was boring.
Alright, but...
I'm just saying there's a lot of people that are saying that one's really, really amazing, and don't just, like, dismiss it just yet.
Okay, I won't dismiss it, but I don't know. I guess I like the 3D Mario games because they're kind of these crazy world adventures, and...
Not really. Galaxy is really the only one that's like that.
I don't know, Sunshine's kind of like
Okay, Sunshine, that's all.
Which is like, I don't know, I like that series more.
Yeah, but that's really, that's basically you're liking it because of, not so much because of the gameplay, so much as because of
the gameplay is interesting, but the way the multiplayer works is flawed because a lot of the time people can easily get caught off screen, and there isn't really...
Doesn't it just like split the screens?
No. You basically, it goes like blue square and it says, oh, someone's off the screen and they need to back on.
Pretty fucking bad. I figured it would do that thing where, like, if you're in, like, the same area, then it's with the one screen, but then if you split off, it would, like, cut the screens in half.
No.
Thing.
It's basically, like, the screen widens as far as it can and then you're kind of stuck.
Oh, okay.
And
that's
the
kind of crap.
And, like, even within its own thing, it just kind of, it doesn't really work straight. I mean, I can see that the levels are designed around the new power-ups and stuff.
Tanuki suit. Oh, the cat suit.
The cat suit.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. I like them coming up with new powers, and it's actually interesting because it's basically wall climb.
Yeah.
So you can basically get up walls and stuff, which is really cool. But, I don't know, it's cool in that way, but it would be much easier if this was single player. Like, I don't really...
You could just play it as single player, though. I mean, you could just buy it for yourself and not play it with any friends, and it would be fine.
I don't know, but they're making a big deal about the multiplayer.
Well, no, they're just saying that it's there, and you can play it like that. I'm pretty certain you can play through the entire game without it.
I know, the cover has basically got the four characters and about how you can play with your friends and every advertisement.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the game is only that.
Okay, the game could be really good, but I don't know. We'll see. If I get a Wii U, I might get it.
Lol, as if you're going to get a Wii U.
Well, you know, they need to release a couple...
They need to release at least 155 more games that are actually worthwhile.
I mean, at this point, we've got Lost World, and that's about it. That's, like, the only one that I think incentive
Monster
I would...
Monster Hunter 3.
I'd play that as well. But...
You'd either love or hate that game.
It would be one of the two.
You'd probably hate it.
I don't know, Pro Jared explained to me how to play the game, so...
How to play the game is not playing the game. Trust me, that game is...
No, but, like, the initial, like, figuring out... to get to the part of the reason why the game is fun.
No, that doesn't take too long. I mean, like, I played...
say that, but I can be pretty dumb in games, so I think... the explanation, you know, is there.
But the game doesn't... The game... There's not much to teach you, really.
Okay, but the learning part and how it teaches you kind of needs to be there, and it doesn't seem like the game
Well, no, you're very much meant to learn on your own, for the most part, at least.
Yeah, so... You know... I kind of...
Trust me, Monster Hunter is a game that everyone that plays it either fucking falls in love with it and then just has, like, this awful downward spiral of their life where all they do ever is play Monster Hunter and nothing else, and they just lose their job and their family and everyone fucking dies and they don't even realize. Or they're like, this game sucks, and they play it for, like, an hour, and even if they play it for, like, a long amount of time, they'll just be like, I don't like it, and then they'll just, like, never touch it again.
I will be the exception, much like with Dark Souls, where I just kind of like it. And I will be very annoying because I don't hate it. Or love it, I'm just kind of in the middle like, yeah, it was good.
Maybe. That's true. It is, I mean, it's not like Dark Souls, but it's got similarities.
No, I just mean in the sense of the fan base that's either hates it or loves it.
I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of stuff about Monster Hunter that I really don't like, but the game overall is fantastic.
I don't know. I haven't played it, so I can't really talk.
So fucking good.
But, you know. But yeah, onto the expo.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about that. Monster Hunter
came. I was happy to see Wind Waker there, and it does look.
Oh, cool. That was there. I didn't see it.
It does look pretty well. I didn't actually play it because there was a line.
Yeah,
it was like such a big.
And why would you fucking bother waiting in line to play the game you played fucking 8 years ago?
I was like, again, more games that I'm like, this is cool, but this isn't.
It's not enough. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, my rule with consoles is I need three games. I need three games that's incentive. Like, I'm going to buy this system, you know?
Yeah.
And if they don't have three games, there's no real point. Because it could be like Xbox 360, where I just buy a game and then I'm like, oh, great. All these games I could have bought on the other systems, as well as the exclusives that I probably would have enjoyed more than this system.
Yeah.
Nothing against Xbox 360, but it just wasn't the system for me.
Yeah.
You know, so the exclusives were more about FPSs than anything else outside of Fable. And I enjoy Fable, but that's not a console seller to me. That's just a good game on the side.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got Sonic Lost World on my mind, and that's about it in terms of games I would actually...
Bayonetta 2!
Okay, I might get into that then. Because they actually made it... The only reason there's a Bayonetta 2 is because Nintendo gave them money.
Yeah.
Like, people are like...
And Wonderful 101. Yeah. There's three... There are three games I would play on the Wii already,
yeah.
But I need more than three games.
But, like... I find it funny that people complain, like, why is Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U? Why is it? And I'm like, well, the reason is because there wouldn't have been a Bayonetta 2 if there wasn't
probably
a Nintendo. It just wouldn't happen.
Bayonetta,
but
Bayonetta 1 is so fucking good, though.
But, I mean, as cool as those areas where I didn't really care about the big, popular, massive show kind of areas, I kind of like the indie developer areas.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But anyway, oh, I also played a bit of Castlevania and...
Oh, the new
Ninja Gaiden Z. Yeah.
Really? Huh.
And it kind of... It was kind
was
of...
Was it the same as the other one that was just God of War with a different character?
I hadn't played that one, but it kind of basically was... I haven't played God of War either, but from what I've seen, it's basically God of War.
Okay, whatever.
It's...
God of War with harder puzzles is what people said it was.
More like annoyingly designed puzzles than anything else.
Yeah, God of War has just like...
I mean,
God of War has puzzles for like 3-year-olds in it. It's really weird.
Yeah, like you, I played the game and I was looking at the puzzle. It's not like the puzzles are hard in the sense of like, ooh, I have to really think
yeah,
about
it's
it.
It's like they take time or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the puzzle is basically this. I need to get from here up on this ledge and I know I have to climb it. However, the controls are designed for fighting, not for puzzles. So I'm trying to get up there and I'm like, okay, maybe I move myself to the left or the right or maybe up input myself there. It's not a tricky puzzle. I know how to solve the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not designed for puzzles.
Yeah. What else did you play?
The Ninja Gaiden.
That cartoony one, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. It was only like, they only had like one little area. I haven't really played any of the Ninja Gaidens, but like...
Oh, okay. Because I fucking love Ninja Gaiden, but I don't know about this new one. It just looks like it's not Ninja Gaiden. Like, it just looks like it's a different game.
It seems like they've gone in a very different direction.
How is the gameplay, though? Like, what's it like?
It was basically fun, but from the little bit I've played of Ninja Gaiden, it doesn't have the same level of satisfaction that I think Ninja Gaiden offers.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a shame.
I mean, I could do combos, but I wasn't feeling like I was... It was like, even if it wasn't true, that I somehow felt mega skilled at doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like...
Was it hard?
It's alright. It wasn't really hard. But I think it was just
a... Because Ninja Gaiden's famous for being really hard.
Ninja Gaiden's like one of those games like Dark Souls. Like, if Dark Souls could have, like, harder difficulties, it's like those games where you set it to the highest difficulty,
yeah.
So you just play it for 5 minutes. Like, I got Bioshock Infinite, and I was like, I just want to play 1999 mode.
How far did you get?
I got, like, 5 minutes in, and then I just got killed.
Oh, okay.
I died. I don't know how... One of our friends, I don't know how Zach does it.
Yep, Zach, because he plays only those games and that's it.
Yeah, because that game... Well, no, he didn't actually play it.
No, he didn't, because he wouldn't. It's not made in 1992, so he doesn't play it. Zach's a bit of a gaming douchebag.
Well, no, he is, but he apparently couldn't access it, which I was like, how? You finished
the... He probably just didn't realize or something. Does it have, like, a huge award thing that happens when you finish the game? It's like, welcome to 1999 mode. Or is it just, like, a new option in the menu?
Oh, yeah, I think it's that way.
Yeah, so he probably just didn't realize.
Well, with the console, even if I didn't know about it, they have a little ding thing where, like, achievement thing,
oh,
which I hate. That's the only thing... That's the only thing I hate about consoles, is achievements are obnoxious.
Steam does that, although you can turn it off with Steam.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Steam has it.
I don't like playing a story game, and then, like, midway through a scene, it's like, ding, ding, you
yeah.
got Heartbreaker. I'm like, this is... You've just destroyed the drama of the
yeah.
entire scene.
I'm sure you can turn it off, right?
I will search this.
You should be able to.
But anyway, you know, it was alright. Anyway, what about you?
I didn't play any games because I was too busy watching the Pokemon tournament.
Did you really spend the whole day just watching the Pokemon tournament?
I didn't spend the whole day there, but I spent a few hours just watching the Pokemon tournament. And then I watched the League of Legends tournament for a while, but I didn't really understand what was going on because I never played it before. But I was like, I'm sure this is really cool to watch if you know what's happening. And what else did I do? I ate some donuts. Those donuts were damn expensive, but they were good. I'm sorry, I just spent so much time at the Pokemon place.
No, I just find it funny, because this whole expo and you just went to the thing you do every day anyway.
Yeah, but this time it was on a big screen with
oh!
commentators and shit. It was cool.
And I will admit, if they previewed Kingdom Hearts 3, I would probably just be at the Kingdom Hearts 3 panel just playing Kingdom Hearts 3 for hours.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So I watched the Pokemon tournament. It was good.
Okay.
And I got a Froakie sticker. It's pretty cool. It's like A4 paper size sticker.
I took like... We had like a whole discussion about the Froakie thing, and I just kept thinking it was a poster because I didn't realize it was a sticker.
Yeah.
And then you weren't saying it was a sticker, so we were both going in a circle around it being a poster. And I'm like, it's a poster. And it's like, no, it's not a poster, Henry. And I'm like, but it's a poster. We weren't even saying like arguments that would extend it. It was literally just, it's a poster. No, it's not a poster. It's a poster. I'm not kidding. It was 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was good times. I don't know. What else? I wanted to watch the Nintendo. We're having a presentation there as well, where they were going to show off a bunch of Wii U stuff and presumably Pokemon X and Y, which is what I wanted to see.
But I would have seen it.
But it was, I went there like 15 minutes before it was meant to start, and it was already full. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm not doing that.
I would have wanted to go to that.
Yeah.
Because that was like, which makes me even more surprised Sony wasn't there. But, yeah, I would have gone to that, because that's like... I'm just really interested to see what they do with the Wii U, because, like, Reggie has recently, like, made a big interview with him where he's like, it can actually compete with the PS3 and the Xbox... the PS4 and the Xbox One, and I'm kind of...
Nope.
And I'm kind of like...
Yeah, he's also the PR guy of, like, Nintendo.
Well, no, I get that, but I'm still, like... I'm still kind of wondering what kind of ballsy move the company is going to make to try and compete.
They're not going to make one.
I'm not getting high over the idea of them actually competing. I'm just saying, what would they do?
Nothing. They're going to just fucking sit here doing nothing. I promise you.
I don't know. They could...
They're just going to do their thing with the 3DS, make a bunch of money from the 3DS, and then just forget the Wii U ever happened, like with the GameCube.
I guess we might be having another GameCube.
Yeah, this is going to be another GameCube.
I think they might make one last effort.
We'll see.
I mean, at least they're being slower about their release schedule instead of releasing it all at once.
But if they release it all at once, then people would actually have games to play. Maybe they'd be buying a Wii U.
Yeah, but then like 5 months down the line when you're getting no releases...
Well, they could just have a consistent flow of games like any other console.
They have a consistent flow of games.
No, they do not. They have like...
Like, the PS3 didn't really have initially a consistent flow of games. It kind of was like...
But it had all the same games that the 360 had, is the thing.
No, sir.
I mean, it had all the multi-platform games were on the PS3, right?
Right.
The multi-platform games are not on the Wii U. Remember in the beginning they were like, yeah, we've got Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and Batman. No one's doing that anymore. Like, at E3, all the games that they showed at E3, in, like, this year, none of those are going on Wii U. Wii is pretty fucking nut.
I don't think it's dead. I think it's...
No, I don't think it's... I mean, it's just started... It's like a baby that's got cancer. That's what it is. That's a really offensive thing to say.
That was a really...
Anyone who knows babies that have cancer are actually...
Baby with cancer.
But, like, it's just, like... It was just born, and it's showing absolutely no promise at all. It's got... In the same way that the GameCube did, right? And the Wii, to the same extent. It's got... a small handful of games that you really want to play, right?
Right.
But it doesn't have... It doesn't have a large sum of games enough for it to be, like, your primary console. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that makes it really unappealing for people to buy, because they can't, like, buy a Wii U and then be like, alright, I've got a Wii U, I'm good. You know what I mean? If you buy a Wii U, you still also gotta have an Xbox or a PlayStation, right?
Right.
Because most games aren't coming out on Wii U, and you can't, like, rely on the Wii U as your primary console, and I think that turns everyone off. I didn't buy a Wii for that reason, until eventually I was like, alright, I'm just gonna have to fucking buy a Wii because everyone has a Wii, right? So then I bought one. But no one has a Wii U, so I don't need to buy a Wii U, right?
Right.
And that's ultimately the main problem. Outside of all the bad marketing and stuff that they've done, that's also obviously a factor. But I think the main thing is that you just can't have the Wii U as your primary console. And that's why no one would buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised they're not trying to bring out their big guns for this year, especially. Like, if they wanted to... I think the thing I'm surprised by the most is that they're not going for, like a Mario Galaxy-level game. Or a...
Well, maybe they are. They just haven't announced it yet.
Or a Legend of Zelda-level game.
TGS is coming up soon. Maybe they'll do something there.
I don't know. They've kind of... Okay, we'll see. We'll see. But, I mean, Smash Bros. Is coming out next year.
Yeah, guess what? Smash Bros. Is also on the 3DS, though, so no one's going to buy it for Wii U anyway.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's not this year.
Yeah.
Like, this year, what is it?
Mario World. Well, yeah, no, I mean, honestly, that's it, right?
I know I'm agreeing with you, I'm just kind of finding it funny, that's their big, like...
But I think, honestly, that game could, if that game were marketed differently, that game could be a huge game. But again, they just market it as like, oh yeah, you know that 3DS Mario game that people liked? Well, it's kind of like that, only it's on the Wii U. And so people are like, whatever. If they market it as like the new fucking Mario game, right? Like not just like a Mario game, but the Mario game. Then people would have bought it. But no one, like, people would have cared about it, you know what I mean? But like no one fucking cares.
It kind of looks, though, like a 3DS Mario game.
It looks pretty fucking clean.
It looks clean.
The graphics look legit.
I'm not arguing against
best,
the graphics.
Best fucking Mario graphics ever.
I'm not arguing about the graphics.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, pretty game for a HD Wii, you know, a HD console. But gameplay-wise...
I think, honestly...
It looks like a 3DS.
People that have played it are saying otherwise. I think, honestly, they're just not showing the cool stuff.
I'm probably missing something, but I haven't seen... Anyone show me something that doesn't look like it's a 3DS Mario game.
Well,
it is
the sequel to Mario 3D Land, that's the thing.
Well, yeah, I get that. And I'm not trying to contest what a series is, okay? And I'm not saying that isn't
fun.
Yeah,
no, that's exactly what I'm saying, though. It's just, I don't think they had good marketing for this game. They were like, oh, we're going to hype up the cat suit, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
And then just forget about everything else.
This is kind of like, I think in the past, Nintendo have these periods... Like, from my experience, where they're kind of nostalgia versus... They're basically, their whole appeal is nostalgia. They've become the people that...
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Basically house Sonic and Mega Man at this point, you know.
Yeah, only Sonic and Mega Man are dead.
they're keeping them alive. Although Mega Man, apparently, as a series, has done all right. I mean, it's not...
Not in recent years.
Not like...
Like all the 3D Mega Man games are like that.
Every platformer or gamer that I see seems to be in love with the fact that it's been so consistent and true to form. It's better than Sonic.
Mega Man hasn't released a fucking game in like 5 years.
They've released like... I don't know, they released those 2D games.
There was like a 3DS Mega Man game in the works, but then they cancelled it or something like that.
Well, I don't mean like a full-fledged, you know, Mega Man game, but I mean... I don't know.
They haven't released anything for ages. All the Mega Man games people love are, like, the old ones. Same with Sonic.
Well, either way, what I see with Nintendo is this. Like, they basically have their whole stream of moments where... Usually they're good with being, like, a balanced... Like, at their worst, they're like the Wii U, where they're basically, like, very similar to what previous games have been, but they feel like they're, you know, the perfections of that. They're kind of, like, the best versions of that. Now I just seem like they're kind of regressing a lot further than usual. The best I can say is, well, they've got that Zelda game they made 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, they've got that Smash Bros. Game that seems to be happening with all those old characters. They've got Bayonetta 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, and the Mario game, even if this was the Mario game, it's a sequel to a 3DS game. The gameplay is going to be a 3DS gameplay. Otherwise, it's not really going to be that much of a sequel, is it? And even if it's a really good version of that, I'm not making that argument that it's not good. I'm saying, why don't I just get the 3DS version? Like,
because this is the better... It's not like... But no, but that's like saying...
Like, I could get
I could get
a 3DS, and it might not be the best version, but I'm basically...
No, but it's not like they're the same game. They're two different games. They're just in, like, a similar... like, style. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think with platformers... If I'm buying a console, the kind of platformer I like to play isn't the sideways kind of...
That's not what it is, though.
But...
Like, Super Mario Galaxy could very well be a 3DS game now. They could easily release that on 3DS.
But at least at the time, it wasn't... I wouldn't want to play that game on a 3DS at all. I just wouldn't want it.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't want it.
Why not?
I don't...
That's not a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. I'm not actually angry. I'm being
okay. It's like, I don't really like being in a whole world and exploring on a small screen. I like to be in a whole, I like to have, first off, it's kind of like screen size kind of helps. But second of all, the controller of the 3DS doesn't really help. I'm sorry,
I agree that I don't like the 3DS pads either, but like...
It condenses the action and it kind of, it's like, there are moments on a 3DS controller that feel like I'm being hindered by this. And if I wasn't using a 3DS controller and just a normal controller, I wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah.
You know? But with, like, 2D games and smaller games, and the way this Mario game is designed, it's designed for a 3D controller.
Well,
so...
it's the fucking Mario game. It's not really designed for that.
It's a series that looks designed for the way the style is and such. A main Mario game, I don't really feel like I can really move the camera around or really have much control. It just seems like the cute levels of a Mario Galaxy or main Mario game basically made into a full game. And I don't know, that annoys me.
I think you should probably play this game. Because you're being extremely dismissive of this game from, like, a couple minutes of footage that you've seen or something like that.
I've played the game, and...
Yeah, at PAX, for how long?
From what I can feel and from what I've seen, it doesn't seem to be...
I'm just saying, if you, like, had a Wii U and bought this game and played it, legitly, I have a feeling you'd probably be surprised at how good it is.
Well, we'll see. In a couple of years, if I get a Wii U.
Let's be honest here. No one's getting a Wii U anytime soon.
Not anytime soon.
When it's like $30 in a bin somewhere, you'll be like, oh, I guess I'll get a Wii U. But even then, you'd be hesitant.
I will get a Wii U, but I'm not paying $500 for a Wii U.
The Wii U's not $500, it's $350.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's pretty shit. It's worth, like, a dollar, let's be honest.
It's a good console, alright? Don't need to be...
A good console is made of good games, not of good technology, and there aren't very many good
games. Why did you spend 10 minutes defending one of those games?
One! I need more than one.
Well, I think the only one I can think of right now is Sonic Lost World is the only game that excites me.
I still have not seen any convincing footage of that game.
Okay. It's the only game that feels like it's distinctly new. It feels like it's something that I look at the console and I'm like, okay, this is something very unique to the Wii, and it's something that makes me feel like, wow, you know, this is something interesting. This is an experience I can't get anywhere else, and it's something I really want to play. You know, I actually really want to play it.
It sounds like you're describing Wonderful 101.
Also Wonderful 101.
Which looks fucking dope. I want that game.
You know, these are games that are like, wow, my eye... Like, this is what I like about Nintendo products. They're like... profits. Their profits are also colourful. But I like their games because they're colourful and they're like...
They don't all need to be colourful, though. That's, like... I don't like that.
No, but I like them as an alternative to what seems to be a lot more darker games in, like, the PS4 and Xbox games. Which, you have your one...
There's tons of colourful games there, too.
You have your... Well, of the seller games, you have your one colorful game. Like, for the PS3, it was Little Big Planet, and then it was like a lot of other dark gritty games. Which, you know, Uncharted has colors, but
it's still about shooting Nazis.
Yeah. Some version of army that's considered evil universally, but you know, I like Nintendo because that's more of the thing, and the gritty game is more of the exception than the rule.
Yeah.
Which I like. So I'm surprised they're not...
I would very much prefer it if all the consoles got together and decided they would have a nice even 50-50, but that would never happen.
I wish we could be somewhere in the middle where it wasn't overly colourful or...
what I just said.
Dark, gritty. Why?
But that would make a lot of less money, probably.
Probably.
So, you know.
Now, everyone's got to appeal to that 12-year-old and younger demographic. 12-year-old boys that like to shoot things.
Yeah.
That's the demographic.
Because apparently those kids have all the money. I don't really understand that, but, you know. I mean, it's working, but where do they get their money from?
It's like...
They buy, like, a game for Christmas and for their birthday, and that's it, right? Or do they, like, support the industry wholeheartedly?
They don't.
But how come they're the ones that have all the money? Like... The games that they buy are the ones that make money.
Because basically everyone wants to be COD, and then they focus test on the audience that's most obvious for COD, And then...
Yeah, no, but, like, is there like, a world where in which a game outside of... Like, that's not like Call of Duty could become the most successful thing in the world ever?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think Call of Duty is just about it. Like...
Well, they are the most popular market, and it's not really... I read an article, actually, recently that said, like, while it's not really what's said openly by studios and stuff, it's basically a common rule that we aren't the desired market. There are a lot of markets that aren't the important market, basically.
Mm.
You know, we're not important. I don't know, it's always about kids, because basically it's been this way for a while where the mum, you know, that's the market they've appealed to, and they still haven't become aware of the fact that their audience is, like, a bit older. Like, the average gamer is much older than that.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess also, like, the 18 to 24 demographic also likes COD a lot.
They do.
So, I mean, I suppose it's pretty appealing to, like, every male demographic, really.
But the problem is that then a bunch of other games decide to try to be COD, and then...
Everyone's... Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I completely agree with you in that regard.
And then, well, a bunch of games don't sell because, well, everyone's already got COD.
Yeah.
And they've already bought their two games a year, which
yeah,
is Battlefield.
Bought COD and they bought... No, actually, Battlefield isn't really all that successful. There's a whole bunch of games that make way more money than Battlefield.
Okay, but...
Battlefield is... I mean, it is the competitor to COD, but it's like... It's kind of the... Its success is perceived as a lot higher than it actually is.
Okay.
Like, I remember not long ago, they got super, super excited on the Battlefield 3 online thing. There was, like, this big thing where, like, if you play Battlefield Online, there's, like, this big thing that was, like, thank you to everyone for supporting us, 6 million players, or something like that. 6 million, right?
Right.
Call of Duty sells 6 million copies in, like, a week.
All right.
It's craziness. And this happened over a year after Battlefield 3 came out, right?
Right.
It took them a while to get to 6 million.
All right. But my point is that a lot of games don't do well when they try to just be that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, Medal of Honor and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. But I guess the industry just hit this point where it doesn't know how to get back to middle-level games. Mid-tier games.
I don't think there ever were middle-level games.
I think there were. I think there were a lot of games that were kind of... When I say mid-tier, I mean, like, price-wise, you could just jump in. Easy.
Yeah, I don't think that ever really was a thing. I can't think of a time, at least, when that was a thing.
Well, I guess the game industry has just kind of always been this whole thing of depending upon everyone consistently buying into it, and
yeah,
you know, we're seeing the other end of that.
Well, now we're just seeing a bunch of really successful $10 games, $5 games.
Yeah. We're seeing the lower end, at least, doing well.
Yep.
Steam and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it is.
That's how it
no
is.
No reason to get angry or happy about it. It's just, like, that's life. But yeah, is that all of PAX?
That's all of PAX. I gotta say, it was a good time. I may go next year. We'll see.
I'll go next year. If anything, just to have an excuse to go to Melbourne once a year.
Just get that breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you happen to be in Australia... I mean, it seemed to be successful from what
yeah.
I can see.
I mean, it's the biggest expo that we've ever had here, like, gaming-wise.
I mean, it's sold out in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I think it'll be bigger.
Yeah. I would like to know how comparable it is to a PAX in America. Like, how big is PAX Prime in comparison to PAX Australia?
I think it may have been probably, like, one... Australia's, like, one-fourth of, like, the size of PAX Prime. I'm making a guess there.
Yeah. It'd be cool. It'd be interesting to see that.
Because I figure, you know, most... Like, I'm guessing PAX Prime probably has a couple halls, like, for main theater stuff.
I don't know.
Like, that's how it seems to be. Like, you at least have four or five, like, halls for, like, panels and stuff.
Well, we had that. We had three theaters for panels in this one.
I guess.
That's pretty good. But anyway... Let's, what's next time?
Next time? Well, I guess we're seeing Wolverine this week.
Yes.
Which will be like...
Tokyo Con. Yeah.
We may play... Sentinels of the Multiverse. Let's see if we can actually play the game without the devs there to just explain.
No, the game's simple enough. We just need to have the core set so we can get all those tokens and shit you need.
And I guess in a couple weeks, I might get my PC running.
Fucking Jesus Christ, that is taking you 100,000 years longer than
my,
it should.
My screen's pretty good, though.
Oh, can I see it?
Yeah, it's...
Like, obviously not right now while we're recording, but
yeah.
I'll go have a look at it
but
after this.
It's pretty decently sized.
Okay.
I did a bit of research, and apparently there's something about, like, the screen that's, like, maybe slightly a bit off.
What do you mean?
I don't know, it's, like, something about being pixelated or whatever.
Okay, well, I'll have a look.
Okay. But anyway, it was a good week.
Yes.
And, you know... Catch you on the flip side.
Yes.
Yo.